of a man who prepared seriously to preach. And he spent about 3 days fasting and prayer, just drinking water, preparing for the meeting. So he came into the minister's lounge. Not here, this, to make it clear, it happened in 1962. Mm-hmm. Many of us were not around when it happened. But here is the point. He fasted. So they asked him, would you like to eat anything? He said, no. Fasted and breathed. So after the meeting, somebody had left. Somebody now asked, how did the meeting go? How was the ministration? One answered, he could as well have eaten. True story, he could as well have. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you grant utterance. Your words go forth unhindered by any demonic force, establishing our hearts in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when I walked in, I spotted a few of our friends from Kenya. All right? Will you rise to your feet? All right? From Kenya. All right, they came in from... They are doing a great work in Kenya. All right. No, put it back to 40 minutes. I will preach for 40 minutes. No, I'm not doing 60 minutes. Preach 40. I'm fine. All right. So this evening, I want to just go into the concluding part of the discourse from the afternoon. And we talked about praying and tarrying for the power of God. And this evening I want to show something about activating that power. Because the power of God may be present. You have prayed, you have fasted, but you have to understand or know how to activate the power. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 24 to verse 34. This was a woman with the issue of blood. And the Bible says, Mark, maybe chapter 5, sorry. All right, yeah, Mark chapter 5. All right. Let's start from verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and the Bible says, much people followed him and thronged him. So many people were thronging on Jesus. And then the next verse says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, that was the first thing, she came in the press, that's in the multitudes there, behind and touched his garment, for she said, and it must have been based on what she heard, that if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And the Bible says, and straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. And you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her body, the word virtue means power, came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. And the Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, the first thing I want to establish here is, I want to establish something and then just talk about the practice of it briefly. Now, why do we several of times don't enter into and experience the power of God in our life? And the real reason is because of a religious mindset, or one major reason is a religious mindset. And it's a mindset that tells us, or we've come to believe, that the reason why Jesus did all those miracles that he did, and the reason why he healed people, and the Bible will say he healed them all, was because of his deity. In the fact that it was God himself manifest in flesh. And that's why he got massive results, because Jesus, in that exclusive place there, was all powerful. And that he simply healed everybody that came to him because of that power that Jesus had as being the Son of God. And so we can readily quote Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15, where the Bible tells us, Matthew 12, 15, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them what? All. However, if we think deeply, we'll realize that multitudes were following him and thronging on him, and it was only the woman with the issue of blood that drew power. Are you following what I'm saying? They were thronging and touching Jesus, and Jesus said, somebody has touched me. And they said, what are you talking about? See all these people that are touching and thronging on you here. How can you say somebody? Said one person among all this multitude here has pulled power out of me. So there was something there that activated that power that was present. Now, if it was just the deity of Jesus and the fact that Jesus was all powerful, then what happened in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 will not have happened. Because it tells us, Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it tells us here that Jesus was in a certain place, and he called there, do no mighty work. He could, not that he didn't want to, he called not do any mighty work except lay hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them, or what? It says literally that these were minor cures and minor ailments that Jesus was able to heal. And it goes on to tell us why he couldn't do it. And it says he marveled because of their unbelief. In other words, what caused the power to move with the woman with the issue of blood was faith. What stopped the power from moving in other cases was unbelief. In other words, if there was unbelief on the part of the person, then it would have hindered the power of God from coming into operation. That's why we close this morning saying that Stephen was a man full of faith and of power. So the condition there, all right, was faith. And here it tells us he couldn't do because of their unbelief. And with the woman with the issue of blood, he was able to do because of the faith, all right, that was in operation. So where the power of God is present, faith has got to be put in operation in order to activate that power. Which means when the power of God is present, faith has got to be put into operation there to activate that power. Let's give an example. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, you see that the power can be present. And it came to pass in a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. The Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal them. But none of these guys got healed. These people came out of Galilee, of Judea, of Jerusalem. They came for the convention. Do you get what I'm saying here? The power of God was present to heal them, and there's no record of any one of them getting healed. Let's go on. We'll see who got healed. And behold, the men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy there, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, note this. Jesus was going. Power was present. Only the woman with the issue of blood got it. It's only these people that got that thing transmitted. Now, let's go on here. And then when they could not find any way by which they could bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiling there with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then you will see why those other ones couldn't tap into power. They were listening, but there was something wrong inside their hearts. Are you following what I'm saying here? Please, let me say this here. It is possible for you to go and listen to a minister you are offended in. It is possible for a person. You know, I went for a conference somewhere in Africa, and I could not believe it. There were about 6,000 people in this conference. And a man came from the United States of America to preach, and something had happened with the pastor. He had divorced his wife and all of that, and he now remarried. And the man was preaching, and he said, something happened in this church that many of you were upset about. He said, I know. And it's time for you to come and forgive your pastor of what he has done. He said, sir, can you get up and stand here? Those of you here that want to forgive him, can you come forward? The people left on the seat were about 100 of us. I looked, a good number of us were Nigerians. We came from Nigeria. Do you get what I'm saying? Even the head usher said, I'm not here, I forgive you. His protocol officer said, I forgive you. They were all attending the place. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But had something, I'll show you here, on the inside of them. So they were not hearing him or listening, even though they were hearing. There was something on the inside of them, even though because they came from everywhere. But the question is, why did they come? And the power of God was present. And look, I'm saying this here. Beware of these people that are planting seeds against anointed men of God to make people offended in them. This thing is demonic. So what people are trying to do is that make sure people are offended, which means as you are listening to them, that offense is on the inside of you. You understand what I'm saying here? And people are doing it, and it's a demonic thing that is going on here. So that when we are listening, you'll find that they cannot be. In fact, there's a chap that invited Jesus to his house. Simon the leper, he invited Jesus. Jesus came to his house to eat. He was a leper. Jesus sat before him. He was offended, even though he invited Jesus to his house. Gave Jesus food. When the woman there came to and was wiping her, he said, this man must be a sinner. Jesus, who? For him not to know, how can he allow a woman be using this? I think the woman was a prostitute and all of that. So he was inside him. So, look, you have to get this clear. Many people can relate for social reasons, not spiritual connection. Yeah. and it's causing a hindrance. If you can even get people, let's just go on because of time. Let me just quickly go on here and say this here. So it goes on here. It says, and the scribes then began to reason, saying, who is this? The person that came from town to come and hear. Who is this? Which speaketh what? Blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk. But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go into thy house. Verse 25, and immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay. Now, of course, this man must, even the man, it's not just his friends that were in faith. The man was in faith now. If you are sick of palsy, they say, rise up. No matter how much your friends are in faith, if you are not in faith, if they carry you up to the top of the house, you want them to bring you down. Are you following me? What rubbish are you saying? Will you bring me down here now? You do. Is it because you'll be hanging me and then I'll be floating down? You want them. All right? But he says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Now let's go on quickly. All right? That's first. All right. So we're there. So he operated there in faith. Now, let me just show you what we're saying. So if you go to Luke chapter 4, what was the condition that Jesus laid quickly in order for people to tap into the power? Luke chapter 4 and verse 21. This was Jesus in the announcement of his ministry. And began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now quickly, let's go on. See what happened. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Then they began to say, is this not Joseph's son? Everything changed. And he said, you will say surely this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard and done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Verse 25. But I tell the truth, many widows were in Israel and said, were not this, but the widow in Zarephath. Verse 26. He went on and said, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save to Zarephath, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 27, and many lepers were there, and Elijah the prophet, none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with what? Wrath. This Jesus preached, they were filled with wrath. They drove Jesus out of town. Listen, next verse, you'll see this. And rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him by the brow of the hill, in the city where he was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Because of message, on top of message, that they will throw him headlong down. Look at the next soldier. But passing through in the midst of them, he went his way. Verse 31, it says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught on the Sabbath days. Now, where did he go? He went to what? Capernaum. He now went somewhere else. All right? He announced his ministry somewhere. They drove him out of town. He went to Capernaum. And what did he do? He taught them on the Sabbath day. What was their reaction? Verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. And verse 34, saying, let us alone. Jesus Christ, you've come to destroy us. Verse 35. And the Bible says, Jesus rebuked, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil was thrown out of them, he came out and hurt him not. Verse 36. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? With authority and power, he commanded out unclean spirits. Verse 37, it tells us, and his fame. Now, get this here. He entered the synagogue. He started teaching. Are you following me here? They accepted his teaching. His fame went throughout every place in the country round about. Verse 38, the Bible says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taking great fever, besought him, and he healed her. All right, verse 39, and stood over, rebuked, and healed. Verse 40, I want to show something here. And now when the sun was setting, all they that was had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Every single person got healed because they accepted teaching first. Let me tell you why people fall short. They ask for prayer, not teaching. Look, we'll get to this. Which means, if you check the ministry of Jesus, anywhere he got to where everybody got healed there, you will see that Jesus laid a foundation there of teaching. Look again at Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. You'll see how Jesus solved the problem. Mark 6 and verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work except lay hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. How did he solve it? And he went round about their villages doing what? Teaching. After he finished teaching, look at the next thing he did. And then he called unto the 12 and began to send them two by two, gave them power over unclean spirits and all of that. Those people went in there to minister in the places where he had first what? Taught. And that was why they were getting the results they were getting. Are you following here? Why did the woman with the issue of blood get it? Because she had heard of Jesus before she went. Others did not hear anything. They were just interacting. The power of God was present to heal them. But what happened was, they were touching Jesus, doing all of that, but they had heard nothing. So when Jesus comes into any place, the first thing Jesus does, that's the first thing he starts doing, he gets into that place, and he will begin to teach, because the way and manner to get into God's power is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then when the people have heard and faith has come into their heart, then they can make contact there with the power of God. So a person who is going to get into the place of prayer, I want to show this here, to be able to make contact with the power of God and receive the power of God within their lives, must be going into prayer, not out of desperation to change a condition, but out of for the fulfillment of something they have heard. Do you get what I'm saying here? Which means they are going up in faith. They are not just going up in their desire. They are not just going up in desperation. They are actually going up first and foremost in faith. So the way into that supernatural experience, which I was saying this morning, is actually to teach people. Once people begin to get taught there, then what happens is faith starts rising on the inside of them. And the way to stop that teaching from going in is to get the people offended at the people teaching. Which is why, let me tell you the truth. If you don't have the capacity to relate with a man of God, stay away. Read their books. They have said, books are the most effective way of people generating faith. Because when you read the book of a person, there's no personality involved. When you are interacting with somebody, and they now you go and meet the person, and the person looks and says, "You say good afternoon." The person, she's a staff today. She told me, "Said Pastor, said, yes, I did not understand you." Said, "I was an usher. Every morning in Yaba, I will come in every Sunday morning. I will greet you, good morning, Pastor." Said, "You won't answer me. You just walk into the church." Actually, I did hear. And the reason why I wasn't here is I'm praying in the spirit. And some people don't know that. They think it's a natural thing. Good morning. Whatsoever been said, I made up my mind I will never greet this man again. Said, the Sunday I made up my mind I will never greet you, you were walking past and you stopped. How are you? Good morning. Now, if it's my message you are listening on tape, you can't get offended. In fact, you'll be hearing jokes, "I like that guy." Until you meet the person. So if you don't have capacity, it's not a social thing. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even Jesus said, look, people are offended at Jesus. So it's not something that, you know, is. I mean, You can easily, people can, I said this, Bishop, but one time I invited him. I was on top of the world. Because they told me, his pastors around told me, he will never go and preach in the campus fellowship. Forget about it. I went to meet him to invite him. He just said, it's a long story, but he said, I will come. I was on top of the world. He came. Even his pastors could not believe that he came. He preached, left. I was walking on air. The next Sunday, I went to the church. Okay, with about three people. I think about two of them are here, I think. And we saw him and stood in a line. And I, as chairman, whom he knows, was here. And he greeted the first person, how are you? God bless you. Sunday morning service. Went to the next person, how are you? God bless you. Went to the third person, how are you? God bless you. Came to me, behaved, he didn't see me, and walked away. By all means, your clout has been shattered. In other words, so you are not even what you are saying. But inside me, I knew it was a test. Like somebody said, whoever God hugs tightly, figuratively. There were three people. One hugged. One said, shook. One said, I love you, I went. That one said, he loves me the most, he hugged me. This one said, he loves me second, shook. This one said, he just said it. He said, it's because you are in unbelief. I had to hold you. If I tell you I love you, you won't believe. So I had to hold. Are you following what I'm saying? See, a minister went to meet somebody and said, this man was telling me in South Africa, I was talking about the late Ray McCauley. He said he went to see him, and this man had the largest church in Pretoria then. He told me, he said, he said, that man is a great man. He told me, he said, you know, I went to see him. He said, we needed finances. And what he did was that a good number of young pastors, and I saw him giving money. So everybody, oh, you can have, and told them. So when he got to me, he looked at me and said, I'm not giving you anything. So you can leave. He said, later on he told me, he said, I saw that you had capacity to believe God. And I didn't want to interfere with the divine process in your life. He said, those other ones I knew, if I don't give them money, they will leave ministry. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you don't understand, you will leave the place. How can they give this one money? They didn't give this one money. They didn't give this one, money. And me. Jesus is a rock of offense. I don't have time to show you. Jesus saw the Levite, the big man there, and Jesus said, follow me. Huh? Listen, anybody Jesus said, follow me, became apostle. Not that he just came, but Jesus called you, follow me. The man followed Jesus through a party. Pharisees came, everybody came, they sat down, had a feast, they followed Jesus. The next chapter, the Bible says, and Jesus spent, he left everything, said, leave everything, follow me. So you leave your job, successful business, you are following him. The Bible says in the next chapter, and Jesus prayed all night and chose his disciples. Go and read it. He wasn't there. It says, and they became apostles. Say, this man, you should have left me in my business. But he may have been that if you had passed the test, you are to enter into somewhere in future. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I guarantee you, if you don't handle it well, you will not hear Jesus again properly in any message he preaches. This man said it today. If you allow offense to cause a disconnection to somebody God called into your life, things begin to wither. Because there is nobody. Somebody asked me this morning. Say, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. Don't you preachers have what is called preacher block, where you don't have messages again? Doesn't it happen to you? I said, it happens. I said, but there's a place you find messages when your own is blocked. There's a way you get it. But if you are offended at the places you should go, you will have no utterance. And Satan knows, if I can bring an offense in those places, I've got this person. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 15. This was the order, and I'll close now here. Luke 5, 15. But so much more went the fame of him abroad, and great multitudes came together to do what? To hear. That's the first thing. They didn't come to be healed first. They came to hear, and then to be healed of their infirmities. So if the emphasis of a person is just, I want the manifestation, and the person really doesn't understand the process that it is first hearing. That's why the Bible says, he that worketh miracles among you, how is he doing it? He is doing it by the word hearing of faith, which means he causes people to hear things, and then faith comes inside their heart, and then people can step into the miraculous. Matthew 14 and verse 35 to verse 36. Matthew 14, 35 to 36. Now, you'll see why he got results again. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, that was the basis, he sent out into all the country round about, and they brought unto him all that were diseased. The next verse says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly whole. But the first thing is, they had knowledge of him. In other words, there was something they knew. And like we said, the first work, therefore, of the Spirit of God on the inside of you is to bring you into knowledge. That's the first thing. Then the knowledge now becomes the basis upon which you are going to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. Listen, that knowledge differs according to what the Spirit of God revealed. This is what we're saying. The Syrophoenician widow, her approach to Jesus was based on what she knew. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I will touch the hem of his garment, that's what she knew. The Roman centurion did not say, let me go and touch his garment. What he knew was that, Jesus, speak the word only where you are, and my servant shall be made whole. Jairus, from what he knew, his own words, come and lay your hands upon my daughter, and she shall be made whole. In other words, it starts out with what, this is where I'm going here, with what you know about God. And what you know about God is what you have been taught, right, about God. That's the platform here, which means it is that knowledge. Now, with that knowledge, it has generated faith on the inside of you. And therefore, with faith now, you want to act, because in order for the power of God that is present there to manifest, therefore you want to act. And I just want to close by an action that F.F. Butler, and I agree with him. He said, this corresponding action has been, or this activity has been accepted by God throughout human history as a corresponding action to, all right, any operation of faith. And it has to do with praising God, and we say again, and worshiping Him. Now, Kenneth Hagin says something before he went home to be with the Lord. He kept saying for almost 15 years, he said, there is a move of the Spirit that the Holy Ghost told him will be lost on this generation. He said this generation, he was talking generation that will never know about it. He said, except it is taught, except it is shown to people. And that move of the Spirit there, I want to talk about it here, is a move of the Spirit that is birthed in a place of intense worship and intimacy with God. In other words, it's a move that happens in the life of a person who has spent time in the presence of God, worshiping God there in spirit and in truth. And I say again that your private worship, I repeat again, cannot be as your public worship. When we are doing public worship, it is general. When you are doing private worship, it is personal. I said this yesterday. If you're a woman and a man comes and just says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Will you love him back? All right, let's welcome Dr. David O'Brien. All right, so I love you, I love you. You will say, don't you have any lyrical strength apart from this? What is this? I love you. Now, when we are singing publicly, we can just be singing, I love you. But oh boy, when you go to God, express your love to him. Say what that love is on the inside. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Because that's how you touch him. That's what the woman with the issue of blood said, if I would just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. You know, I was sharing with a friend. I've told you that fellowship is something you talk to and scripture. And he's coming in from the meeting from England. And before he got into the plane, this morning, I was telling what I was going to share. And he said, you know that thing you said? He said, I went to check it. When the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That word know your God there is they the same way Adam knew Eve. They that know God in that intimate way. He says they shall be strong. He says this, and they shall do exploit. He said, you said it's the same Hebrew word as that. He said, I researched it. He said, do you know what I found out? I found out when the writer of Hebrews says, and they shall all know him from the least to the greatest, and they shall need no man to teach. He said, it's that same word. In other words, what we teach is the basis. But when you enter into worship and you come to know God at that point, nobody can teach you from that place there. That's where you now come into your own personal knowledge of God, all right, as a person. Where that person emanates, the Bible says the person will be strong and that person will do exploits there in life. So you take that knowledge, it forms the foundation here, which means all the teachings that you receive, right, it should form the foundation. She heard of Jesus and said, if I would touch the hem of his garment based on what, all right, heard here. When you first hear, don't miss it at that particular point. When you sit down there and you hear, right? All of us, nobody can tell me about offense. I've been offended before. And I know the consequences of offense. All right? I've been offended. And when you're offended and people radicalize you, right? What happens is you disconnect. And once you disconnect, just check the life. Everything begins to wither. One day I met Bishop Edeku on the plane. I said, sir, he said, what? I want to ask you a question. He said, what? I said, how is it you are growing from strength to strength? And some of your contemporaries got offended and withered. He said, you've answered the question. They got offended and withered. And the Bible says, it's impossible for offenses not to come. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Impossible. You know, when they tried to build Jerusalem, they tried to build. They used cash and everything. After some time, the king stopped them in the book of Ezra. They were there for 20 years until they were out of time, until Daniel understood by books and went to God in prayer. And after the intercession and Daniel broke through, two prophets were raised up. You can check the timing of Daniel's prayer and the timing which Zechariah got up and Haggai got up. Those two prophets arose and they began to prophesy. The Bible says, helping them in building. And the scripture says, then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews in Jerusalem in the name of the Lord there. Verse 2, and the Bible says, then rose Zerubbabel and Joshua the son and began to build. Listen to this. Oh, even if you are in the marketplace, listen, God raises people in a prophetic order over your life. Let me tell you what happens. You have a difficulty in the office. You come to church on Sunday, or wherever it is, they preach, you have the solution to it, you go and implement it. All Satan will do to stop that house from being built is to cut you off that prophetic flow. Once he cuts you off that prophetic flow, what happens is, then there's no connection again. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which is why, listen, don't start saying you are breaking through in life and you stop the flow that is coming in. Now, this thing they are giving, this insight they are giving, I've said this before, somebody came to church and told me, and she used to work in the office. After 1 year, she told me, said, my husband lost my job, lost his job. No, he said, my husband's got his job now. I said, did he lose his job? He said, yes. Ah, I said, he didn't tell me. So how are you paying school fees and all of that? Because the children are going to very good schools. I said, it's God, the pastor is God. He said, but she told me, said, but let me tell you something. I said, what? Say, pastor, you'll be preaching messages like this, and you'll be explaining what happened to him in the office. It's almost in detail. Now, once you're offended, you won't hear those things. In detail. Said, one day it was too vivid. I entered the room and I called him. Please, I did not tell pastor anything. He said, didn't I marry you once I come into the church before you came? Even before we got married, this has been a conversation that has been going on between me and what, pastor? The less you pray, the more counseling you do. The more you pray in the spirit, the more word of knowledge that comes out. Counseling is word from knowledge. Are you following what I'm saying here? And as a person, I don't like it. I don't like doing counseling. Because once somebody tells you a problem and you get up to preach, any example you are giving, you have to think. I've seen some people leave church. I had to send people to go and beg them. I wasn't talking about you. Listen, he said, I confided in pastor. Can you imagine on television? He was, and I didn't hear anything. There was a gentleman that came to meet me. He said, pastor, no, I need counseling. There's something going on in my life. I said, okay, let me finish preaching. After service, we'll talk. After service, he said, there's no need to talk. Thank God I didn't tell you before service. I would have felt you got up there and you came to preach my matter. I have the answer. I know where I missed it. I know where I will correct it. I'm going. If Satan gets you off those people, there's no supply of water again. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? You will just start sweating and struggling. So let me close by saying this here. So he forms the basis of it. And then he now says, coming. So you take that knowledge to God in worship. John Gillick said this. He said, it is difficult for people to comprehend that God's power is a tangible substance. He said it's difficult. He said, a heavenly material, which means when Jesus said, virtue has left me, something left him. He went on, it is one of the difficult things to comprehend that God's power is tangible, just like electricity is in the natural. He said, if only we could make people understand the vitality of power, men will discover it is not just a matter of the grace of God, but a perfect scientific application to man's need. That thing is actually a scientific application to man's need. And so what he's talking about, when he says, that's why when Jesus said, whosoever believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where do you get the living water from? I repeat in what I'm saying. The future is in the hands of worshippers. In Ezekiel 47, because of time, he said they got into the tabernacle of God and the waters began to come out. Anybody that enters into the holiest of all, and the only way you can enter into the holiest of all is not by singing, it's first by revelation. Because the hope is an anchor to your soul, both sure and steadfast. Is what God tells you, you used to enter into the place. You can't enter by what you think you should enter. You must enter by the hope. He says that hope is an anchor to your soul, both sure and steadfast. Which hope we have as an anchor to our soul? Where did the anchor come from? Go to earlier place, verse 16. You will see that God said something. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to the end of all strife. Verse 17. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confounded by hope. By two immutable things in which was impossible to life, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil. In other words, if God gives me a hope, listen to this, for a teaching ministry, he gives Dr. Bailey hope there. I made a promise to him personally when he was there and heard God for a prophetic ministry. And I look at his prophetic ministry, the manifestation, I prefer it to my own teaching ministry. So I enter into the holiest of all to receive. The angels will say, we didn't give you any promise. Do you get what I'm saying here? Hope means that God has promised you, I will give you, quote unquote, 1 million. Where do I collect it? Come into my office and you will get the 1 million there. That's where the transfer will be made. I can't enter his office now to collect a car because he didn't promise me a car. Do you get what I'm saying here? You enter with what he has promised you, not what you desire. Do you get what I'm saying here? When he promises you something, he said, that's the anchor. Enter in. Which is why he said, it is not a question of dropping rods in the presence of God. It is, no man taketh this honor to himself except he that is called of God. So he said, to show that it's only Aaron that I called. All of you drop your rods. Only Aaron's rod will board because it's according to what? Calling. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you're a Syrophoenician, if the person is a Syrophoenician widow, which is to get it from crumbs, and you are touching the hem of his garment, it won't work. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why in this faith work, there's no name it and claim it. And if you go with the hope that he gave to you, effortlessly you begin to come out. Because once I enter into his presence and the waters of that revelation starts coming out, what happens is things begin to spring up on the earth. I will meet somebody that will open up a door somewhere. I'll meet somebody here that will open up a door somewhere. I'll meet somebody here. It is happening for somebody else. What I should do is to cherish what God is doing and thank him, not to leave my own lane to go and join them in their lane. This is why this thing of strategy for ministry of copying, I don't like it. Are you following what I'm saying? This thing that people say, we got it from management. You understand this? When they say, how do you succeed? Just go to where somebody else is doing. You will succeed, but it will be an Ishmael. An Ishmael was a human being born that was alive and had, but not the Isaac. And what will happen is, no matter how much you dress your Ishmael, it is not Isaac. The person who has Isaac will have 500 people in his church. They'll be calling them among nations. You with Ishmael will have 20,000. Nobody will send you an email. You say, what's happening? For ministers, the first key to success in ministry is preach the message God gives you. Full stop. Are you following here? Follow the path that he has set for you. If somebody else breaks through where they are, rejoice with them. Pray for them. But don't touch their own success. You understand what I'm saying? These are holy and sacred things. It's not business. It's not boardroom tactics. We are in the presence of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And that's where God wants to take us. So he says, I will reveal. When I reveal things to you, on the basis of that, you will come to me with songs there. That's how you take the hope there and enter into the veil and with depth of worship. And what happens is that the waters of life, that substance, that power begins to come. Once you get into worship, human activity, which means stops. you can come and a preacher teaches you something. You hear something that he may not even think he said. You use that to enter into the holiest of all. When it comes out and your result starts coming, even the preacher that taught it will ask you, so how did this happen? And you say you are the one that did it. Look, somebody has taken me somewhere before, and he wasn't lying. He said, it is your teaching pure that produces. In fact, before I met him, somebody used to tell me, who is here today, that there's somebody in your church that is doing this, that is doing this, that is doing this, that is doing this. I would say, who is this person? He would tell me, no, you, but I said, for years, I was looking for the person in the church. I would look, who is this person? I didn't know. One day the person called me and took me there. What he was doing, Miss F. I never do. You understand what I'm saying? And he put scripture, said, can you see this is what you taught? Can you see this what you taught? Can you see this what you taught? I said, on top of my teaching, you have done these things. In fact, someone told me one day, he said, Pastor, do you listen to yourself? I knew what he was trying to say. He said, because one of the things you say, do you two listen to it? Listen, no, make sure you listen to yourself. But it's what you hear, you take into worship. This is the next move of God on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? There'll be people that will spend time in worship, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And rivers will begin to flow out. The rivers will be touching things around them. Life will be happening. Anything they do will prosper. And people will be wondering, where is it coming from? Somebody else is spending all their time praying for things that God never ordained for them. Are you following that? The Bible says, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? The hope that takes you into the veil, you haven't seen it. What God wants to produce through you, nobody has done it before. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nobody. Let him. It's not just a question of the world thinking you have succeeded. It's a question of doing what God wants you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because when you get to that level, the kind of car you are in doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In fact, if you drive a shallow car, they say they will respect you. People will look at you and say, my friend, I respect that guy for being in that kind of car, with what he's got. Now, but if you're not in God's will and you enter that car, they will disrespect you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you think it's the car that is the issue. It's not the car. You are not carrying honor. No man taketh this honor to himself. There's an honor that comes from men. There's an honor that comes from God. And when you wear God's honor, no matter what you do, you have that honor. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you'll be getting results. So let's settle down. All right? Two things. If you have a covenant prophet and you are angry, go and repent to him. It's a demon that entered. You understand what I'm saying? Oh boy, listen, people are watching online. I'm not talking here. You will drive faster than you can believe. I heard Reverend Pastor Paul Enetche say this. He said, when I got to Winners, said I sat down, there were great men ahead of me. He said, today, if I tell you, was telling his church, I tell you their names, you won't know them. He said, they got offended. I recalled it. I was somewhere one day as a student, right, in 1989. And people began to come back to that place and saying, we are sorry. And I looked at Bishop Idekpa, and under his breath, he was saying, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. For eyes that see, and ears that hear, for eyes that see, which means I didn't miss it. You understand? See, I'll close by saying this. The person I've told you yesterday, who started a fellowship that handed over that I went to meet, he called me into his bedroom one day. He said, two of you are the people that should lead this work that I'm leaving, yourself and this person. Should stand with you. We were very close. Very close. One day he did me strong thing. If I tell you, you'll forget my message and be laughing. You'll be laughing at what I'll say. But let me tell you this. The relationship became fractured. And that was it. The next time I heard, what I heard was not even about the will of God, was inside the world. So one day he came to meet me. He said, "We've sinned." He came to meet me. He said, "Bring us back into God's move." No problem. He said, "You see, what you should do," this is where the problem came. He said, "What you should do? Form a board in this church and make us members of the board of trustees." Ah. If only he had said, "I will be an usher." You know that if I see him as an usher, my heart will not rest. Because somebody told me something privately. And then they'll say he's an usher in your church. I'll just be waiting. Pass this test of ushering. Please pass it too. Please pass it. Pass it inside my heart. Pass it so I can have justification in the sight of God to do what I want to do. Do you get what I'm saying here? And once I believe he has passed it, I'll say, "Move in." But he said, "We want to start from the top." The only thing you start from the top is a grave. Every other thing, you start from the bottom. The only thing you start from the top is to dig down, is death. And the truth about the matter is that God speaks in very deep ways. One day, somebody had a clash. My mother intervened. I said, "There's no problem." I go to my house. I put on the television. For no reason, I don't do it. I went to Yoruba movies on DSTV. And I saw this person that came. They told him, "How will you destroy this man?" I said, "Just go back and apologize. Let him take you in. Once he takes you in, he's gone." And the person was coming the next day to see me. I said, "Please, God has spoken. I'm not saying." So my mother called me. I said, "What are you doing? What's wrong with you?" I told her what I saw. She said, "You saw that?" I said, "Never again." I said, "Yeah." Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and cause it to bring forth fruit in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah.